I don't know whether the trifle poke apart is going to work very well. I'm still getting used to having my head in the right spot to make use of those lenses, but we'll see how it goes. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 9 through 11 is where we'll begin this morning. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 9 through 11. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now under the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. We have two choices when we discern or determine the origin of a thing. Is it from heaven or is it from men? In Matthew chapter 21, verse 25, Jesus suggested the same thing when he asked the Jewish leaders why they didn't believe John, the baptism of John. Is it from heaven or is it from men? They argued among themselves and weren't courageous enough to say the truth, so they said, "We don't know." And Jesus says, "Neither will I tell you what you asked for. Is it from heaven or is it from men?" The church, if it's from heaven, then its origin is from God, and it is subject to the precepts and prohibitions of God when dealing with it. But if it's from men, then no one should say it's from God, nor should they ask God's blessings upon it, nor expect God to save it. If it's not his, why would he have anything to do with it? So it's important when we talk about the church that Jesus built, when we talk about its origins, where it came from, who authorized it, these things are essential. This is all to say that if you find the church that's from God, that was conceived in his mind, that was established when he prophesied it would be, and has the identifying marks that his word reveals, then do all you can to enter that church and remain faithful to it. However, if you are in a church, notice the quotation marks, or are considering a church that is for men, that was conceived by the mind of men, that was established either before or after God said his church was to be established, and has fewer than the required identifying marks that God's word reveals, then do all you can to leave or to reject that church and do all you can to identify and enter the church God built. That's our purpose today. What we will do here today is show that the church that Jesus built is a divine institution conceived in the mind of God and established on the Pentecost 50 days after the Passover of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. The church is divine, then it must be entered God's way. If it was established at the time mentioned, then all so-called Christian denominations that started at other times are of men, and so not to be honored, feared, or obeyed. They simply don't matter to God and shouldn't matter to us. The church was conceived in the mind of God. Go back to our text that we read. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 9 through 11. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world, notice that phrase, from the beginning of the world, hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now under the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Notice certain phrases in the beginning and in this verse 11, the eternal purpose. The church was conceived by God before the foundation of the world in order to save mankind. It's part of his scheme of redemption, his plan of salvation, the mystery it talks about. What is a mystery? Well, we all think we know what a mystery is, but in the Bible, it's something that was formerly hidden, but today is laid open, made known. The church is like that. God kept it to himself so many, many centuries ago, eons ago. But today, He has revealed it through His Son and through His apostles. The church is the kingdom. That's very important that we make that statement, because there are statements with regard to the church and to the kingdom, and we need to know that the kingdom is the church for our understanding. Matthew chapter 16, verse 19 follows Peter's statement that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. The keys of the kingdom were said in the same breath, I will build my church. They are the same institution. We'll show more and more how that is the case. Mark chapter 9 and verse 1 places a time stamp on the coming of the kingdom. Mark chapter 9 and verse 1. Because of that time stamp, we see that the church and the kingdom are the same, because the church was established within that time frame as well. Mark chapter 9, verse 1. My eyes are better, but my fingers will not grip a piece of paper. Mark chapter 9 and verse 1, and he said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. Now, you and I both know, if you looked at the premillennial doctrines, that there are some that expect the kingdom yet to be established. Mark 9, verse 1 makes that a joke, doesn't it? There are 2,000-year-old people walking around, because Jesus said that within the lifetime of these people, the kingdom would come with power. So in that generation, the kingdom would come, and it would be marked by some special event that denotes power. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. After Jesus was dead, buried, and resurrected, he spent a good deal of time, 40 days with his apostles here on earth, and he tells them that their job is not over, that there is something coming soon that they need to wait for. And he says to them, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. The kingdom is going to come with power. And the power is going to come, as we can see in other places, with the Holy Spirit. That happened at the day of Pentecost. We often say A.D. 30 or A.D. 33. This is something that's prophesied by Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. In this very dark time in the history of Israel, Isaiah is given the job to prophesy to a hard-headed people. He would be given a forehead of flint, and he would be told, when he asked how long he was to prophesy to them, until they're destroyed. That was to come some years later, but prophet Isaiah was to tell them about the doom and destruction that was going to visit them. It would come through Assyria, and then it would come through Babylon, but come it would. But within this book, there is also these windows of hope, things that God wanted them to know when he wanted them to know that he wasn't done with them, that there was more to come. And so these windows of hope would be shown. They could look down through the stream of time and see what's coming in the future. I know it's dark. It's not clear as it would be from our side. But listen to what Isaiah writes. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. just to get you to understand where he's coming from here, I need you to ask yourself the question, where did the law come from during the time of Moses? Did it come from Jerusalem? No. It came from Mount Horeb, or Mount Sinai. It was a different time and place that the prophet is speaking of here, where the law comes forth from Zion, or Jerusalem. It marks a different place and time. It marks the future, when in Jerusalem, the law would come forth like it had from the Mount Sinai. 7 centuries before Christ, in a time of rebellion and devastation, there's a window into the future. God is not finished with Israel, nor is he finished with the world. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44 also opens a window during a time when Israel is in captivity. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44. Speaking of a kingdom to come, Daniel writes, "And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." What kingdom in the past stood forever? All of them fell. Every single one fell. What kingdom could we say today that shall last forever? We can't know anyone that has the ability to stand forever except one. And that is the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, the kingdom that was established on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem. Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. "I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, and all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed." These are only representative of what has been given in the Old Testament. If you were to read them all, you would see that during the times of the Caesars and Herods, that kingdom would be established. There was only a small window of time when it could be established, when Rome was an empire. And there was a time to do that. "It shall not be destroyed." It had yet to be established in the ministries of John and of Jesus. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 12 for Jesus. Matthew 4 and verse 7 for Jesus. They had the same message. The kingdom is at hand. That's not hard to understand. There are people that don't. They have helped to misunderstand it from the false doctrines of men. But when you say something is at hand, with regard to time, it's about to come. With regard to the location, it's close by. And this is with regard to time. It's going to come soon. And you can also say that it has not yet come, because it is at hand. We also see in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 7, Jesus sent the 12 out on a limited commission. If a kingdom had come during the time of the apostles before the death of Christ, then they would have said something far different from what they said here. They were commissioned to go out and speak to the people of Israel. And what did they tell them? Did it differ any from what Jesus and John had preached? Matthew chapter 10, verse 7 reads, verse 6, But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So, still not here. Still close by, though. Jesus said, Matthew 16, verse 18, I will build my church. The church had not yet been established. No matter what I don't think that there's many of the Baptists that do that today, but in time past, you ask them when the church was established, and it was during the time of John the Baptist. Perhaps some still hang on to that. I don't know. But it was a thing in time past. Jesus said, I will build my church. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 3. You can also see here that the disciples were not in the kingdom. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 3. And said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Speaking still of some future event. Priests and elders were not in the kingdom. Matthew 21, verse 31. Matthew 21, verse 31. Whether of them twain did the will of his father. They say unto him the first, Jesus saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. They were not in the kingdom of God, and it was still coming in the future. Luke chapter 22, verse 18, we read the institution of the Lord's Supper, that at this point, the kingdom had not yet come. Luke 22, verse 18. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. It had not come yet. After the death of Christ, Matthew chapter 1, verse 6, Acts chapter 1 and verse 6, we see that it had not come. Acts chapter 1, verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Now we understand that the apostles did not yet understand the nature of the kingdom, but they were well informed enough, as anyone would be, whether the kingdom had been established or not. Obviously, it had not been. They were not informed of such taking place. The church was established on the first Pentecost after Jesus' death. When the Passover came, Passover was Sabbath, the Old Testament tells us you count 7 weeks, 49 days, and then add one day and you would get the day of Pentecost. It was a few weeks later that the power would come. We pinpoint the day with the power. You remember Mark 9:1, that Jesus told them that people in that generation would not pass away until the kingdom would come with power. With power is a key there. The command to wait for the power in Jerusalem, that's Luke chapter 24, verse 49. Got a little typo there that I'll have to correct. Luke chapter 24 and verse 49. After the giving of the Great Commission, Jesus speaks to them a little bit more about their duties. Luke 24, verse 49, we read, And behold, I send you the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. The power would come in Jerusalem, because they were to tarry in Jerusalem. The power comes with the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 8 and verse 1. Acts chapter 8 and verse 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. I can't blame it on the glasses anymore. But it's Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So when would the kingdom come? It was still at hand. Power was to come. Before the kingdom was to come, before when the power came, before the death of those that Jesus spoke to. Luke 24, verse 49, they would be endued with power from on high. In Acts 1, 8, the power would come when the Holy Spirit came. Then there are the events of Acts chapter 2. Just 10 days later, after all this, Jesus ascended into heaven. They waited 10 days, and they were in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. Now when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The power came when the Holy Spirit came. But when the power came, the kingdom came. When the kingdom came, the church came. That's how we know. That's where it began. That's where God established His kingdom on this earth, on the day of Pentecost, in the city of Jerusalem, as we noted in Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. And we expect that that kingdom will never end. The church will always be in existence. Jesus will hand it back to God in the judgment, but it will always be in existence. The Holy Spirit came. They were in Jerusalem. It was within the lifetime of Jesus' hearers. Therefore, the kingdom came. The church was then in existence. Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Acts chapter 8 is an important place to go to show that the kingdom had established. Acts chapter 8, verses 1, 3, and 12. And Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Then verse 3. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Verse 12. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. As they were being scattered, they preached the word. And as they preached the word, they preached the kingdom. A kingdom that was then in existence. This continued even to the end of the book of Acts, Acts chapter 28, verse 23. The Apostle Paul was held in Rome against charges. He did the very same thing. Acts chapter 28 and verse 23. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. And so as Paul continued to preach, he was preaching the kingdom of God, verse 31, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ, with all confidence, no man forbidding him. What were they doing before Pentecost? The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What were they preaching after Pentecost? They were preaching things concerning it and Jesus Christ. Then, Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 is a most convincing passage. When we ask the question, has the kingdom been established? Ask the Apostle Paul. For in the language that he uses here, he assures us that the kingdom has been established and we have been translated out of one kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, into the kingdom of God. He says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So out of one kingdom into another, the other being the kingdom of God. Now, you would think that John in the book of Revelation would know that the kingdom has not yet been established, but he does not know this. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 9. Revelation 1 and verse 9. After all, if the world tells us that the kingdom has yet to come, then we ought to expect that kind of language here in the book of Revelation. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Once again, John didn't know. So what are we trying to prove here today? The fact is that some deny that the kingdom has been established, or that the kingdom is the church, that the church was from the mind of God from the beginning. But we want to prove this, that the church is a divine institution, and that it was conceived in the mind of God and not of men, and that it was established on Pentecost, not before. You know, there were some years ago that used to say that the church was established during the time of Abraham to try to get infant baptism in. And there are others said, well, we're the Baptist church. John the Baptist is the one that that established the church. But we are here to say that it was established on the day of Pentecost, as God prophesied, as Jesus commanded, as the Holy Spirit came, as Jesus spoke that you'll not pass away till the kingdom come with power. The power came as they heard the word of God that day coming forth from the apostles. They were looking at men who had tongues of fire on their head. That is, just like during that time on with the burning bush, these men looked to be on fire, but they were not consumed. That was how people would know that the words that they were speaking were from heaven and not from men. And then they began to speak with tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. We are assured that these tongues were not gibberish, that these tongues were an actual language whereby someone could understand God's word. Nothing else but that. That was what they were. But they were unlearned by these men. And so the miracle, God taught them those words that they were to say. Once again, in the mind of God, established a divine institution. That means it's not for men. And so, when we ask the question about the importance of the church, we see that it is essential. Many of the denominations claim to be the church or part of it, but were established much later. There's no Baptist on record until the 1600s. When did the Lutheran church start? Well, not until the 1500s or so. What about the Church of England during the time of Henry VIII? Well, what about the Catholic Church? They claim to go all the way back to the beginning. But there is no papacy until about 6 centuries after Christ. It just doesn't exist in history. And they left being the church that Jesus built when they had so many departures from the faith. They no longer had the marks of the church of the first century that was established under the apostles and prophets. The truth is that the church or kingdom of the Bible that was in the mind of God from the beginning, that was prophesied in the Old Testament, was established on the day of Pentecost, A.D. 30 or 33, depending on the calendar, 50 days after the Passover, during which Jesus died, was buried, and then resurrected. Those of you who have concluded that your loved ones are okay in their denominations should change your view and teach them the truth. Suppose you knew that some of your relatives had counterfeit money. They were duped with regard to it, and you know about it, and you know they're spending it and getting away with it. Maybe you think that it's okay, but then you learn that it's not. What would you go and do, fearing that they would be caught? Well, what about the church? Your relatives may be fine in their particular denomination. They may be saying, well, they're going to go to the same heaven that we're going to. But if they're not part of the church that Jesus built, if their particular denomination has different marks than what we've learned about, then they're not part of it. And it's time to run. Time to run to get into that particular church that Jesus built. Those of you who have concluded that your loved ones are okay need to change your view and teach them the truth. There are also some of you who might be considering joining a denomination. Well, they're bigger. Their church has a bigger youth group, and on you should go about the benefits of some other group. But are they in the mind of God? Have they been established by God? Where will salvation be if it's not in God's kingdom? Those of you who thought that the Church of Christ is just another denomination should change your mind, believe, and teach the truth. The truth is that the church Jesus built was built in the mind of God, conceived there first. We have an obligation to be part of it. We're commanded by the Great Commission to enter into that particular church. There may be other reasons that we could state for you to change your mind about some things. Perhaps it is that you haven't obeyed Christ's commands to enter into that kingdom. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? Have you repented of your sins? Will you confess Christ before men and be baptized for the remission of sins by those particular things, those particular commands? You can obey His commands and enter the kingdom. The only way, His way. There may be some here that are in the kingdom, but you have fallen from the good way, and you're in the kingdom in the sense that you are like the parable of the tares. You're just waiting around for the end where the reapers will take you out of the kingdom and you'll be burned. I don't know about the sin in all your lives. I don't know what the condition of your soul is. But I know the Bible says that in each congregation there are those that need to repent, that need to change, that need to ask God for forgiveness. And if it's a public matter, to make it known publicly so that we can remain in fellowship with you. If we can assist you with your obedience, won't you come and sit on one of these front pews as we stand and as we sing?